first guest this morning joins us. He is no stranger to those of us here at Wake Up Niagara. He is a New York State Assemblyman, and he represents District 145. And his name is Angelo Morinello, otherwise known as the Judge. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, and how are both of you?
Oh, happy to be here, and happy that you were able to take time out of your morning to spend with us and let us know what's going on in Albany.
Always happy to be on the show and tell people what is happening. My job is not to tell them how to believe, but to push them to research, review, and make honest, intelligent decisions with sufficient information. But, John, let me start out on some good notes before I get into the budget conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight at 4 p.m., there is a recognition of April as Donate Life Month being put on by Joseph Jastrzemski, our Niagara County clerk. We're fortunate to have Joseph. Joseph does the Purple Heart. He does this in addition to taking care of everyone at the DMV offices. But let me just read you a little bit so people understand. Connect Life, in conjunction with Joe, will be at an event at the North Tonawanda DMV office. All right? And who are we going to honor? We're going to do two Niagara County residents, Tim Sinor and Paulette Welker. Both received heart transplants just over 10 years ago. Myself and other officials will be there. And we are encouraging more residents to become organ and tissue donors. We have a colleague whose son was he was 14 years old, tragically hit by a car, languished, and then passed. Let me tell you the courage of this colleague and his wife and family. They wanted to donate the organs of this young man, but they knew that it would take at least 1 week to round up the recipients of those organs. They chose to suffer through watching their child languish while they did the recipient search and preparation. 1 week they stood there knowing that they were going to have to make a final decision soon, yet they did it. There were approximately, I believe the number was, 6 different recipients that now have life-saving transplants because in my own family, my brother-in-law received a kidney transplant a number of years ago. He was able to survive for over 10 years, and eventually it wasn't that. It was just other issues that took his life. But kidney transplants, organ transplants, donors are so important because in this day and age, we can save others as we leave this earth. So I want to encourage everyone that has the ability at 4 o'clock today to join with myself, Joe Jastrzemski, Donate Life, to honor these two individuals who are on the face of this earth because of donors. I want to thank you for that. Next, let's talk about the budget, which I think is what you really wanted, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, we all know when we talk budget, we're talking about fiscal. We're talking about income versus outgo. But what is holding up this budget? Now, remember, this budget was due April 1st. Today is the 11th. We are no closer to a finalization than we were January 1st. And why do I say that? Because there is no transparency. It is closed-door negotiations because they do not want the general public to know what they are doing. They're playing games, fast and loose. It's like the old shell game that some of us grew up seeing, where you put a little pea under a walnut shell, you have 3 shells, and you move them around and then try and figure out where the pea is. Well, that's kind of like the budget. They keep moving things around without ever focusing on. But what is holding it up? Non-economic issues. Number one, housing. The advocates are pushing for what's called good cause eviction. What does that mean? It means government takeover of private property in a nutshell. You would not be able to evict a tenant unless you can prove that, A, they were behind on their rent, or B, that they destroyed the property. Now, what is important about that? At this point, we have two types of residencies in for renters. We have month-to-month, which is every 30 days, and under the rules that had been before they destroyed them, you could give 30 days notice either way, the length of the month-to-month, and you would leave, or you could evict. We also have leases. Now, normally a lease is for a year or 2 years, and then you can extend them should the parties come together. Under this good cause eviction, unless you can prove that the individual either destroyed the premises or wasn't paying, you cannot evict, nor can you, you have to renew the lease. So take a family who's has a rental home, they've taken care of it, they've rented it, and one of their children's or family members decides to, they want to come back home or they want to move out on their own. If there is a tenant in that location, they cannot ask that tenant to leave in favor of their own family member. And if that tenant isn't paying, you still have to go through the eviction process, which most individuals know that it takes months because of all the rules that have been put in place. So technically, if you really analyze it, it's government takeover of personal, of real property. I got to tell you a little story. For the 75th anniversary of D-Day, myself and some other veterans of the Veterans Committee in Albany, we took a trip to Normandy. And while we were in Normandy, one of our colleagues received a phone call about 11 o'clock at night there. We were sitting in one of the taverns just discussing the day's activities and the beaches. And what came out was, the challenger to this individual, who, by the way, ultimately won, his mantra was government takeover of all property. And what we find happens is in the Assembly and in the Senate in New York, what they can't do direct, they do indirect. There's a little tool called a nipper. And when you put ceramic tile in a room, sometimes you have to take just little pieces off, and to do something really big, you could crack the tile. So they nip around the edges. That is what's happening my entire term in Albany that I see. But they can't get direct because of opposition, because of my conference bringing things to the forefront. They do it by nipping around the edges. So that is what's happening with housing. One of the things in housing is they're limiting how much in a landlord can pay to refurbish that location. It's limited to $15,000. Well, anybody who's going to do a renovation knows $15,000 sometimes is not even enough for a bathroom. But if they spend the money, they can't recoup it because they're limited on how much they can raise the rent. So what you're going to have is the direct opposite effect. Landlords are just not going to invest in their properties. They're not going to rent them. And in New York City, the controls tell you you have to rent that. You can't leave it vacant. So basically, government telling individuals what their own rights are, their own property rights. They want to expand all of these across the state so that we would then become affected by the New York City radical movements. It's funny because there are certain individuals in the majority side who actually say we're going to vote against the budget if we don't get our way in the housing. Mm. You know what? Let them vote against the budget. I voted against almost every budget. My colleague Mike Norris voted against every budget because within those budget bills, and there are 10 of them, there are things that we just cannot allow our individual constituents to accept. Do you have to take a break, John, or I've got another issue, non-fiscal?
Okay, we have about 90 seconds here, Angela.
Okay, the Rapid Act, okay? What is the Rapid Act? The Rapid Act is another attempt by the government to eliminate local control. They want to expedite. Now, they always come out with these great, great titles, okay? But let me tell you what the RAPID Act really means. It stands for Renewable Action Through Project Interconnection and Development. What in God's name does that mean? Okay, here's what it means. No local control. The government can come in. They can eminent domain your property to put either solar or wind. And where is this going to affect more? Who has the most open land? Western New York. We have farmland. Okay, they're not putting these in New York City. They're taking what we have, why people have moved here. And along with that, there's other acts that are taking away local control. We have, there's a bill. Now, these are all buried in the budget. They're non-fiscal. Mm. They don't help the everyday individual. So there's one. Right now, if within 100 feet of a supply line, the gas companies install the lines to the homes. Well, all of a sudden now it's unfair. Why should others do it? But everybody who has a gas line has already had those put in. They have estimated that should they keep this going, it might cost everybody 40 cents a year. That's it. But the purpose is to make it cost prohibitive for individuals to have gas put into their home. Mm-hmm. Additionally, part of that is if there's repair needed, you're not allowed to repair them. You have to convert to electric. That's going to cost every homeowner $40,000 to $50,000. Just think about it. Hot water, heat, all your other appliances. Do we need a break, John?
Yeah, we do need to go here, Angelo. But we want to thank you so much. I'll be in touch, and we'll set.
Oh,
up.
You mean that's it? I'm
yeah.
Done?
Yeah. For today,
so
but
so much more, John.
Oh, I know, Angelo. All right, I'll give you a call later, and we'll set something up as soon as we can.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, Angelo. Thank you. We appreciate it so much. Angelo Morinello, State Assemblyman for District 145, joining us on Niagara's Choice Voice Line.